Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by Kenneth Doust. This week, part two of the latest audio collage by Virtual Renderings. It's called Tales of the Green Path. I hope you'll stay tuned. We'll pick up today near the middle of Tales of the Green Path by Virtual Renderings, slightly condensed by yours truly. This audio collage is about our alienation from nature and our need to get back in touch with natural ecology, particularly plants. Listener advisory, the heart of this installment is a young and rather inexperienced witch. She's reflecting on her partially successful attempts to communicate with a rosemary plant. This idea might seem quite off the wall, though perhaps not so much if you heard last week's installment on how plants communicate with one another. And perhaps it seems less off the wall if you know Wordsworth's famous sonnet of 1807, "The World is Too Much With Us." Wordsworth's sonnet echoes many of the themes we find in today's installment, or vice versa. So I shall end these brief remarks by reading the poem. One quick gloss is needed. When Wordsworth says the world, he does not mean the world of nature. On the contrary, he means what used to be called the man-made world, industrial civilization, the world of capitalism and human society. So the world means the opposite of nature. Here is the sonnet. The world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon. This sea that bares her bosom to the moon, the winds that will be howling at all hours, and are upgathered now like sleeping flowers. For this, for everything, we are out of tune. It moves us not. Great God, I'd rather be a pagan, suckled in a creed outworn. So might I, standing on this pleasant lea, have glimpses that would make me less forlorn. Have sight of Proteus rising from the sea, or hear old Triton blow his wreathed horn. Now onwards to part two of Tales of the Green Path.
I was already in my mid-30s and realizing that I was having these profound experiences with the non-human world. And I went out and I started having them with plants and really having sort of dramatic experiences where I was having communication and receiving information about the plants and about their personalities and about how to, what sort of they bring into the world. And then having that validated by either reading some of the folklore or what their medicinal uses are. And so there was an excitement in my life that I had never had before, which was, I'm real. I exist. I'm communicating. I'm alive. And so I was developing a level of self-worth and sort of agency in my own life that I could only credit towards the plants and how they were showing up. And so getting to this interaction with rosemary was sort of a process. I had been studying the plants for about a year. I had had really intense experiences with plants such as nasturtium, rabbit tobacco, which revolutionized my understanding of plants in and of themselves, having their own agency and their own mission in the world. This was a plant that told me that it was that I couldn't harvest it because it was ministering to the plants in its own community, and that it was acting as the medicine plant for the plants in the community around it. And so it really didn't need to become cough syrup for humans or some type of aromatic smoke for humans, because it had a very important job to do. And that had so shifted me that I knew that I was interacting with plants in a way in which they had their own agency and their own purpose and their own existence and their own spiritual life and their own community, which didn't even need to involve the human world, and yet we share the planet, so obviously we're interacting. And I was in a state of total overwhelm, ecstatic overwhelm and revolution.
We don't expect our dog to come up to us and start, you know, telling us that they want this and this for supper, but they certainly have very clear ways of communicating what they do want to us. And I think that's true for most living things, that if we're just paying attention to each other, to the earth, to the plants, to the animals, then we'll become more and more aware of that.
It's all alive. It's all connected. It's all intelligent. It's all relatives.
The spirit of the plants has come to me in the form of a beautiful dancing green woman.
Rosemary, Rosmarinus officinalis, is a carminative, antispasmodic, antidepressive, rubefacient, antimicrobial amenagogue. In addition to its calmative and digestive properties, rosemary can have a stimulating effect on the circulation.
I decided that I was going to get to know this plant rosemary, that we were going to have as connective and exciting of a relationship as I had learned to develop with some other plants. And you know, this is one that I would kind of rub and say hi to every day going to and from my little balcony, and felt that obviously we would have this connective relationship. So when I decided, I was like, oh, I'm ready to get to know rosemary. I brought my little notebook down and I brought an offering. I brought some cornmeal and I brought some organic tobacco and I brought some really overpriced water shipped in from who knows where, that I had bought at Whole Foods. You know, I was trying to do everything right. And so I made my offerings and I sat down next to Rosemary and I smiled at her and I felt my heart beating out of my chest, and I just felt like, ta-da, I'm here, share your wisdom with me. Get to know me. Tell me who you are. And I sat next to her, and it was completely silent. And this happened several times, where I would sit down next to her, ready to sort of communicate and connect, and I was behaving sort of like that, like awkward groupie that was pretending to give a lot of praise to Rosemary, but instead I was actually demanding a lot of her attention. And as I would sit there and as she would be silent, all of this stuff would come up in me. Childhood stuff, you know, I'm not worthy and maybe I'm not doing this right and I'm too needy and I would start to feel really insecure and I would start to feel really like any of the confidence that I had actually built up about this communication that I'm having with the non-human world and coming to terms with realizing that, like, I'm a witch and I communicate in this way and I interact with the non-human world, and that's fantastic and that's powerful, and so I must be powerful. All of that stuff and story would just fall apart into this weird sort of codependent neediness when I would sit next to Rosemary. And I would try to journal next to her, and I would try to come and act cool, and I would make offerings to her, and I would drink tea next to her, and I would go to sometimes harvest from this plant. Now, she's probably at this point 2 feet tall, hasn't flowered, and still kind of a young rosemary plant, but really one that was developing some intense, potent aromatic oils. Like, she has, where she's at, there's no shade, and so she pretty much gets the morning up to sundown sun exposure. And you know, pretty much August through mid-November, and sometimes even up through Christmas, we're talking 80 to over 100 degree days, and definitely through the month of October, no shade and intense over 100 degree days with the dry heat. And so the medicinal constituents that we use as herbalists and that we call on to make shifts in human bodies are often the protective qualities of a plant that really have nothing to do about humans. It's just literally their own protective capacities. And so these intense, rich, sort of like deep, dark, but also sort of like right aromatic oils that Rosemary produces is her own protection. This was a very potent plant, even for her young age. And so I'm sitting next to her. Probably I tried for several weeks and just would become a codependent, crumbling, insecure mess around her. And that really shook me to my core in a lot of ways. That really made me feel like what I was becoming to know about myself and these new sort of things I was coming to embrace about myself was a bunch of bull. And I started to believe it was a bunch of bull. And then I would go back into the trails and the plants that I was taking care of in other places, and I would have these really great experiences. And so at some point it clicked for me, and I was like, maybe Rosemary just really doesn't like you, because it's not like every plant is designed to respond to me per se, and maybe Rosemary just doesn't like you. And for some reason I was so relaxed in that realization.
But also, it became interesting to me, gee, medicinal plants do something in the ecosystem besides waiting around for us to use them. They're actually doing medicinal healing of all of the other things that are out there, all of the animals and the trees and everything, and that began to drop me really deep into this dynamic of direct human-plant communication. And as I looked back at interviews with indigenous peoples who had never had exposure to white perspectives or, you know, European perspectives, every one of them, didn't matter what continent, what place, what time, they all said the same thing when they were asked, where did you get your knowledge of plant medicines? They said, from the plants themselves that was in kind of a dream state, and the plant told us. Mm. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting. And that kind of began a 20-year journey of being very focused on that particular dynamic of what I call biognosis, the extraction of knowledge directly from the world without going through linear reductionism or trial and error.
Hey, listen.
Decided to actually start sitting next to her and not trying to get anything out of her, but really just sit next to her and kind of be like, you know, that person when you take public transportation or you walk into a party, that person that sort of sparks your eye, but maybe you never end up conversing with them. You just can tell, oh, there's something about them. They're neat. They're cool. They shine in some capacity that actually you can recognize. And so I just decided to treat Rosemary like that, like this cool chick that was in my neighborhood. And so I backed off a lot and I started sitting probably within about 3 feet of her at the base of my stairs to my apartment, and I would journal or do my to-do list for the week or talk on the phone. And that went on for a few weeks till I finally sort of sat next to her one day, but really didn't need anything from her. Like was literally sitting next to her just to sit next to her and wasn't really paying any attention to her at all. And I sort of sunk into myself, and I think I was thinking about something herbally related, and all of a sudden she says to me, Hey. And I looked over at her and I was like, what? Hey. What? She says, do I blow in the wind? And the funny thing was, is I wasn't actually suddenly overwhelmed. I didn't have those waves of, oh my God, Rosemary's finally talking to me, and that means I'm special. And, you know, none of that really sort of prepped up. I really just sort of looked at her and I gazed deeply at her needles, her leaves. I mean, they look like, you know, they're little needles as opposed to sort of what we think of as leaves. And it actually happened to be a somewhat breezy day that day. I can still get actually some breeze off of the sea, which would be very familiar with Rosemary because she's a Mediterranean plant that survived long sunny days near the sea in the Mediterranean. So she says to me like, hey, do I blow in the wind? And I really just gaze at these beautiful needle-esque leaves and her structure, and I suddenly have this overwhelming feeling of both stillness and movement and sort of calm and excited at the same time. And I just said, well, no, you really don't blow in the wind. And if I could give you sort of an energetic feeling of like what happened next, it would be like that sort of like smirk. And when somebody like shrugs their shoulders and sort of smirks at you. And she was just like, exactly. And kind of energetically retreated back into her own space. And I was blown away. Just blown away. So that's my relationship with Rosemary. That's, in some ways, she was the plant that sort of taught me to have a level of autonomous ownership over how I approach another plant and how I approach using a plant in spell working. And the funny thing is that's actually just one of the lessons that she has to teach. She's just sort of a bad, self-owned, self-aware, doesn't need kudos from anyone type of plant who appreciates other bad and will help show up and do some badassness with you in your spell. Not for you, but with you. And I think that's so awesome. Like, how can you not be in love with the world or plants or magic or any of that after knowing that? So I'm sort of internally in awe and in gratitude of her for that lesson. She helped me grow up a little bit and be my own woman, be my own person, be my own witch.
Well, we're reaching the end of the age of reason, or rationality. And, you know, a lot of people have a knee-jerk thing about what that means. But really what happened is during the Enlightenment, you know, reason or rationality emerged as this sort of counterweight to dogmatic religion. And so this other way of knowing that you didn't have to sort of take things on faith began to emerge. But what the rationalists of our time miss, and most of the people who've been, you know, infected by that frame of reference miss, is that during the Enlightenment, they didn't throw out intuition or imagination or common sense or the ability of human beings to feel. It was, all of those human attributes were still there. They just were using reason as this one kind of approach to sort of give a different view of the world or a different path. But as time has gone on, the people who believe in what they call reason or rationality, they've begun to remove all of those other attributes of our humanity from that field because they felt like it was corrupting the ability of reason to observe the world. And so the thing they left out is that reason divorced from the other human attributes that we have becomes pathological almost immediately. It has no moral compass. It has no warmth. It has no capacity to love. It's just sort of an organic computing process. And the more that that began to happen, the more damage unrestrained reason or dissociated mentation began to do to the world around us, not only the exterior world, but our interior world. And you can really see how it's just not working anymore. It's the system itself of thought can't maintain the complexity of the world we're in now, and it's failing everywhere in the Western world. So this dynamic of working with the living reality of things, of having the response of the heart to what's presented to the senses, there's this move into a new kind of paradigm that's emerging, and herbalism is one of those things. I mean, it's like being gay in the 50s. It forces you out of this sort of comfortable framework of culture and into self-examination and to examination of the culture itself and its failings. So yeah, this thing forces a kind of activism. One of the neat things about herbalism, at least when the time I got into it, was that it had really been sort of the neo-herbal movement in North America had been formed by a lot of eccentrics and outriders and people that didn't really fit any place else. And it was coming out of the 60s, and a lot of the people, as a matter of fact, all of them, as far as I could tell, of those early people, had taken a lot of LSD or psilocybin or mescaline or smoked a lot of marijuana, and they sort of had this interesting connection with the plant world because of that.
Here we must end Virtual Rendering's last audio collage so far, Tales of the Green Path. If you're a fan of Virtual Rendering's collages, you'll find a link to 114 of them on our show's website, to wit, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. The story of Rosemary was told by Kirsten Hall. I myself am Kenneth Doust, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer of New World Notes, and I thank you for listening. We come to you from the East of the River Satellite Studio and Skunk Works of WWUH-FM, a community service of that beacon of light in darkest Connecticut, the University of Hartford. And please remember, illegitimi non carborundum, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. And please tune in again next week. Till then.